Le rire des Acadiens à l'harmonica. Au revoir.
C'est toi qui commence.
D'accord. À tous mes amis super-héros, si vous avez à venir écouter à la radio Sécurité 4-20-10-3-3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to John Abbott on the Air. You're listening on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm Zach Foreman, and today I will be interviewing Mark Legault. Mark is a successful entrepreneur who, for the past 10 years, has been working with a charity that built houses for needy families in Mexico. He's here today to tell us all about it. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, thanks.
So tell me, how did this charity start in the first place?
Well, this charity is called Hugo Ministries, and it was started by a gentleman in Alberta. He went down to Mexico, the west coast of Mexico, about 30 years ago, and he started doing the charity work down there. And after a while, he was able to build and build, and he built a compound down there big enough, several buildings, to hold about 150 guests at a time. So today, Hugo Ministries is able to host several teams in the same week to build houses. They can build several houses in 1 week.
Wow, that's quite a lot of people. So tell me about the area.
The area is Ensenada, Mexico. It's on the west coast, northwest. It's about an hour and a half from Tijuana, the border, and about 2 hours from San Diego. It's on the coast. It's a very nice city. It's about 1 million people. And Ensenada is like any other big city. You've got the Home Depot and Costco and Burger King and Walmart. But as you go south out of town, it gets poor. And there's a lot of field workers, laborers who live in that area, who make about $50 to $60 a week. And also your heads of your family trying to feed their entire family on that. So that's where the need comes in. And these districts are not like we call neighborhoods. They're not paved roads. They're just dirt roads. There's no infrastructure as far as sewage goes or water. They have electricity, basic electricity, and that's about it. It's all dirt roads, and that's just how those areas develop.
How did you hear about this charity in the first place?
I actually heard it from a friend of mine in Ontario, Chuck Jansen. He's a business friend. He was my supplier. And he told me about 12 years ago. He said, Mark, he goes, I'm going to Mexico for a week. So if you need me, just keep calling me my cell. And I said, also, I asked him where he was going, assuming he was going to a beach somewhere in Mexico, like everybody else does. He goes, no, he'd been going there for several years. He was bringing his team down. His team consisted of his friends. And about 8 people, and they would go down for a week and build a house. So, and I've been looking for something to do as I've had 25 years in business, and I was looking for some way to give back. And this really resonated with me. So I decided to join up for the following year to be one of his team members.
Okay, so is that what inspired you to get involved, or what did inspire you to get involved?
Well, Chuck's firsthand account of how you go down there and you actually meet the family. You meet them on Sunday evening, you fly into San Diego, you drive to Ensenada, and then Monday morning you're on their piece of land, and the cement pad is already poured for this house, which is about 12 by 16, and you start building with them. And over the next 4 days, you get to know them, mom and dad and the kids. And you get to see where they were living before. And most of these families live in shacks or put together with pieces of scrap wood and tarps and dirt floors. So building them a small house, a little two-bedroom house, is a big thing for them. So having gone down the first time, based on what Chuck told me, and I was ready to go down there and how can I say this? Just, you know, do a good thing and have a week to work with my hands. And I got a lot more out of it than these families just give you their love and appreciation. And these families, they're in a neighborhood and they share everything and they help each other out. And they're just really great people. So on the fourth day, whenever we give them the keys, there's a lot of tears, put it that way. So it really touches your heart when you do that kind of work.
That sounds like a very wholesome thing to do. So how are these families chosen?
Hugo Ministries is actually affiliated with several pastors in the area. And they go through the pastors, and the pastors know their congregations. They know the families, and they know which ones are in the most dire straits. It's difficult because the demand is so great, but they just choose the ones that really, really need houses. And we've seen some places going down there. It's just terrible conditions. And so we're happy to go down there and give the family a leg up. So the pastors, and they're all great people. I've met several pastors over the years, really good people who give to their community. Great family man in there. And it was, they're on their own. I think they're just great people to give a lot.
Let's talk about the people who actually build the houses. Who actually does that?
Well, after going with Chuck's team for the first year, I started putting together my teams. So I would go down once a year with a team. And the composition has changed over the years, but it's usually family and friends. You have to have friends who are willing to give up a week of their time to actually pay for their flight to San Diego and to pay about $500 to stay on site. So you need people, you need family and friends who are willing, who could see the benefit in this and have a big heart. And I was fortunate enough to be able to put teams together for the last several years. And I want to, you know, I really want to keep doing that too. This year we couldn't go down because of COVID, but we sent the money down, and our foreman Rodolfo, actually, he put some people together down there. We built a house for a family in January this year, despite not being able to go down ourselves.
Okay, who pays for the land and the materials?
Well, the family have to own the land, and that's a big stumbling block for some of these families. So they have to have, it takes them sometimes years to accumulate the money to actually own the land. They pay it off over time. So once they have the land, the team or the team leader, in my case, I pay for the house. It's my pleasure to do it. The house costs about 6,000 US. We're talking about a 12 by 16 house with 2 8 by 8 bedrooms. There's no plumbing. There's no insulation because they don't need it down there. It's just a nice little, like a little cottage with gyprock on the inside and some electricity. And of course, beyond that, we actually pitch in our money and buy them furniture. So we leave them with a completely furnished house.
That's a very important thing to do in a house, because you want the people to be comfortable. Do you plan to continue building houses in the future?
Absolutely. To be honest, it was I really missed going down this year. But unfortunately, COVID hit pretty hard in Mexico, and they don't have the resources we have. And so some families that were hit very hard down there by this situation by COVID. So yes, I'm hoping that we usually go in November. So I'm hoping this November we'll be in a situation where it'll be safe to go back, and I'll be able to bring a team down there again to build the next house. But as far as this goes, it's a great way to, how can I say this? If you don't have a lot of time, but you really want to make an impact somewhere, and you do have, of course, the finances for it, it's a great way to make a difference in the world. And you get a kind of a vacation out of it at the same time. So it's heart-centered. You get to use your hands instead of just thinking all the time. And you're able to build a house from start to finish with the help of a foreman. Hugo supplies a foreman and all the tools. When we get there on Monday morning, all the materials are there, the slab is poured, and we're able to start working. The houses are a preset plan, so we know exactly what we're doing, and the foreman is there to give you any advice. And they build, you know, each foreman probably builds about 30 or 40 houses a year, so they know exactly what they're doing. So yeah, absolutely. I would love to do that and actually do more. If I could build houses or help people elsewhere in the world, I absolutely will.
So how have your experiences in Mexico changed you as a person?
Actually, it makes me more appreciative of what I have. The first time I came back from Mexico when I was a team member, Zach, it was, I just stood in front of my house. I looked at my house. I walked in, realizing I've got a car in the driveway, a roof over my head. I have food in the fridge and money in the bank. And I just felt so blessed, so fortunate, having just witnessed a family that didn't have a lot, having been in an area of Mexico that's very poor. So it makes me appreciative of what I have, actually blessed what I have. And it also, it spurs me to do more charity work and do other things for the less fortunate. It's a great feeling to be able to give, to be at the point of my life where I can, you know, that where I'm okay and my family's okay, and I could start doing something that's beyond just friends and family. So it's a great feeling. It really is.
So you would say that these experiences would help you count your blessings, so to speak.
Oh yeah, it changes you. It gets you out of your head, brings you in your heart. And that's where we should live.
Well, Mark, that is a really amazing thing to hear. And thank you for being here this afternoon.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Zach. Thank you.
I'm Zach Foreman, and I was just interviewing Mark Legault about his charity work in Mexico, where he builds houses for less fortunate families. For CKUT 90.3 FM, this is Zach Foreman from John Abbott on the Air.
Hey everyone, my name is Jewel Harrison, and today I'll be reporting for John Abbott on the Air, CKUT 90.3 FM. Today I'll be reviewing the podcast Views with David Dobrik and Jason Nash. Views, hosted by the one and only David Dobrik, along with his best friend Jason Nash, explores their relationship, their thoughts, and behind the scenes of David's famous vlogs and what it's really like being a successful YouTuber. Views with David Dobrik and Jason Nash really focuses on their day-to-day life and all the humorous events that take place along the way. It features special guests almost every week. Views definitely never fails to give me a good laugh and uplift my mood. If you've ever seen any of David Dobrik's infamous 4-minute, 21-second vlogs, then you know he only shows small pieces of his days. But what is interesting about his podcast is that you gain so much insight on what actually goes on behind the scenes. David Dobrik is widely known for being a jokester, but he is also known for giving. All jokes aside, in his podcast, he truly demonstrates his generosity and not only how it affects others, but himself as well. After listening to Views with David Dobrik and Jason Nash, I think it is quite obvious that one benefit we can all agree on is happiness. This is a comical podcast which truly brings you laughter and overall enjoyment. This podcast is designed for a large audience of all age groups, but I believe teens and young adults would appreciate the content more than others since it can be a little immature at times. You can find Views with David Dobrik and Jason Nash on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio.com, and now YouTube with new episodes every Monday. My name's Jewel Harrison. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners. My name is Evan Policino, and you're listening to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. Today, I'm going to tell you a really great story, a funny story from about 2 years ago. This was during my last year in high school, which was a pretty good year. I just had a really good group of friends. Anyway, it was during a community service trip where we actually went to Colombia for 18 days to build a community center for a small village in the coffee region. I forget exactly the name of the town, but it was basically the mountains of Colombia where they harvest coffee beans. Like, if you know that scene from Bruce Almighty where a guy shows up at his window with coffee and he's like,
"Ah, now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia."
Well, that's exactly where we were, basically. So how it went was most of the days consisted of construction work or workshops during the day. And then in the evening, we'd usually did something fun, like an activity of some kind. So we were living with the families there and really like taking in the culture and the food and stuff. So it was planned that like in exchange one night, we'd have to perform a skit that would depict a Canadian folktale. Like, okay, it's really funny, but it's kind of difficult to think of a Canadian story or folktale to tell Colombians because Canada is like so diverse. We don't have a lot of defined or unique cultural stories, or at least we couldn't think of anything good. I forgot who it was, but basically someone suggested, oh, let's just do Frosty the Snowman. Because whether it's a folktale or not, you know, they certainly wouldn't have heard of it because they don't get any snow. So we were brainstorming, like, what were we going to do? Like, how were we going to do this? And we're like, okay, it's going to be like kids having a big snowball fight in the playground. And then they all decide to make a snowman, comes to life, and then they all get along and make up. So we're planning it out, and it's like, okay, oh crap, we need a reason why the kids are fighting. Then someone was like, let's make it the French versus the English kids. Like, oh god, why did you have to go and politicize Frosty the Snowman, you know? But whatever. So we figure it out. We go to present the skit. It's going well, as well as it can for something that was put together in like under 30 minutes. Then it comes time for my friend Ryan, who is playing Frosty. And we all like surround him and like do this weird dance. And then he comes to life. And we decided to have his line be said in Spanish. So it was basically like the only like the line Frosty says when he comes to life was Feliz cumpleaños, soy Frosty, or happy birthday, I'm Frosty. He literally had one line in the whole thing, and when it came time for him to say his line, he just cracked a smirk, like one of those smiles you get when you're about to laugh, like you know. He forgot, so basically he forgot his only line. He just stood there, and he was like, soy Frosty. Then we whispered to him, and he like corrected himself. Oh, feliz cumpleaños, soy Frosty, you know. It was pretty funny, because he wanted to play Frosty, because it was literally the easiest role in the play, because you only had one line, like four words. Needless to say, it was a pretty fun trip, and we did not let him forget about it very easily. His skills with Spanish were somewhat of an inside joke for quite a while. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Remember, I'm Evan Policino on John Abbott on the Air. Later, and stay frosty.
Welcome, Evie Stock is here on CKUT 90.3 FM radio, John Abbott on the air. Today we're joined by local YouTuber Eric Arsenault. Eric, how you doing?
Hi, Evie. It's a pleasure to be with you, especially the sun is out and things are looking up.
So Eric, you started your channel in January, and the first video you made, you were giving money and food to essential workers and local businesses. What kind of made you want to do that? Where'd the idea come from?
After 2020 being such a, in my opinion, terrible year in so many aspects, good in some aspects, but we all know what happened. I wanted to start 2021 with a bang for me and for the people who have been working so hard. So that's where it came from. And we just wanted to do some good in the new year. So we launched on January 1st, 2021. That's it.
That's awesome. And then you had another groundbreaking video that got you on two news stations. You were on our local news, City News. And then you also ended up in the news in the Philippines. So you want to tell us a bit about that video, how that happened, everything.
So I not actually sure about the Philippines news. I think it's a Philippine channel in Canada, based maybe in Vancouver. It's called Omni News. And so we had another idea, which was mental health has been very hard for in the past year. And we wanted to give people a little message. So we wrote 1,000 handwritten Valentine's Day cards and then gave away 600 to the Old Brewery Mission. We gave away about 100 to a residence home, Chateau Pierrefonds, and then 400 to a hospital. So we wanted to give people a message of love and kindness on Valentine's Day. So that's where that video came from, and we were very happy that it was very successful. So that's it.
Well, you seem like you're doing some really great stuff out there. And you've called on your subscribers to help you already. And so it seems like you're really just trying to build like a community here.
So, I mean, I've already started a few concepts at the Eric community, in the sense that, you know, I don't want to just be producing videos and then not have feedback from the viewers and stuff. So there are available options for viewers and subscribers to participate in our videos. Like earn small prizes, small cash prizes. We have a Discord, so you're able to join and communicate through there. So not only do I want to produce these videos, but I also want to hear like your feedback. So we're building a little Eric community.
That's amazing. What's your biggest goal to come out of this channel?
I was like sitting around doing nothing for a year, and then I wanted to just start doing something. And I mean, with every video we try to improve on, with every video we try to get better and get more stats, get more viewers, get more subscribers, and that's the push, that's the drive for us to get better and to improve our work, but also obviously to do a lot of good in the community, in our community, you know, put a smile on people's faces, because it's like, this world's really dark and there's a lot of dark things, and we just want to, you know, make someone smile. That's kind of our goal. So to grow, I would say, and grow as big as we can, and to do some like good, some actual make a difference, and then show, inspire others to maybe make a difference themselves. And I say we as in we, it's not just Kyle and I. If you don't know, Kyle's my counterpart on the YouTube channel. It's not just Kyle and I running the whole show. There's a whole team behind us, so that's when I say we.
Eric, you seem to be doing some really great stuff out there, building the community, bringing people together, spreading the love. So is there one last thing you want to tell the listeners today?
First of all, go watch and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Leave a like on every video. It'd be much appreciated. I actually got my first recognition the other day. I was at Tim Hortons, and the cashier recognized me from the YouTube videos. So that was pretty flattering on my part. But after you've subscribed and watched all our videos, because you're going to do it right now, not if you're driving though, don't be afraid to just go and start. Just start it. And even though I only have maybe 130 subs with a total of 2,000 views on all my channel, I love what I'm doing. And I love every little milestone we've achieved, every little milestone of every little video. So just do what you love and do it to your fullest capacity, and do it kindly. That's what we need right now. And thank you, Evie, for having me on CKUT. And it's been a pleasure.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone, go subscribe to Eric Arsenault on YouTube. Just type in Eric Arsenault. You'll find his channel. You'll find his amazing videos. Throw some love and support towards his amazing channel. He's really spreading the love out there. I'm Evie Stockfish. Thanks for tuning in to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is John Abbott on the air. We'll see you next time.
Hey everybody, this is Vanessa Narducci for 90.3 FM, CKUT, John Abbott on the air. And today I'm going to tell you guys a story that my family never skips on telling other people whenever we go to gatherings. So the first time that my family and I went to Disney World, my parents decided to surprise my brother and I by waking us up at around 5:30 in the morning and asking us what we thought we were going to do for the day. We had school on that day. We were in elementary school. I'd say I was about 7 years old and my brother was about 5 years old. So they wake us up and they ask us what we're going to do. And my brother obviously answers that he's going to go to school and then he's going to go play in the park. So then I answer, I don't know. But then my parents pull out two Mickey Mouse ears and they tell us that we're going to Disney World. So I am super excited and I almost start crying tears of joy because I've heard nothing but good things about Disney World. But my brother bursts into tears of sadness because he doesn't want to go to Disney World and he said he'd rather go to school and he'd rather go to the park with his friends than stay in Disney World for a week. And my parents didn't know how to react because my brother was screaming at them when they were trying to leave and we were trying to get on the flight because we were going on the flight that day. My parents already packed all the bags for us and we were ready to go. We were supposed to get in the car right after they told us to catch our flight, but my brother was throwing a tantrum on the floor. He was refusing to get into the car, refusing to go through customs, and I remember this so vividly because I remember I had to be the one to calm my brother down and tell him about all the great things that I've heard about Disney World. So we're on the plane, my brother's crying the entire time. He was that kid that you'd be super annoyed of if you had him sitting behind you or in front of you. And we finally land in Florida. We get to the hotel and I'm jumping out of excitement and everything. And then my brother sees the hotel and his mood completely switches. He becomes so happy, so excited to go to the parks. And he became the one that was like dragging my parents out of the hotel to go to Magic Kingdom or to go to Animal Kingdom. We all find it pretty funny to tell this story to our family whenever we're around them or our friends because it's something that we'll never forget. So once again, I'm Vanessa Narducci for CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, and I told you guys a little story about the first time my family went to Disney World. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, this is CKUT 90.3, John Abbott on the air, Dylan Driver speaking, and today I'm going to be telling everybody a story. It all started about 6 months ago, when me and one of my best friends decided to go up to his cottage for the weekend and relax. The first morning we were there, we realized that we had ran out of water from the night before, so I got in my car and started driving towards the nearest well, about a kilometer north. On the way back, I realized that something did not feel quite right on the back left of my car, so I got out and started looking around. I immediately realized that there was something very wrong with my tire, as it looked like the rim and the rubber had almost been completely separated. In the moment, I made the bad decision to decide to try and drive back to his cottage with the rim nearly exposed to the pavement, going about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Finally, after a long drive of going extremely slow, I made it back and was immediately told how dumb that idea was and how much I could have damaged the rim. I was fortunate enough to not do any severe damage to my car. The next morning, it was time for me to go home. So we went to the backyard, put on one of the spare tires that we had lying around, and I started driving home. I was nervous to be on a spare tire as I had never driven on one before, but soon that would be the least of my worries. On the way home, I started feeling the same feeling I felt on the back left tire, but this time it was on the back right. I thought in my head, there is absolutely no chance that it could have happened on both tires. What are the odds of that? I've had my license for nearly a year now, and then the same day, two of my tires snapped. It just didn't make any sense to me. But I had to pull over just to be safe, and I got out of my car, and my fears had come true. The back right tire looked like it was about to fall right off the rim. Being pretty far away from the cottage at this point, I called the main person I usually call when something goes wrong with my car, my dad. Thank God he was available, because he immediately got up and started driving towards me, with a spare tire in his trunk. But as I was waiting for him, I began to look around my car, and I quickly realized that it was not just the back two tires that were about to go. The front two had noticeable cracks and looked like they were about to separate as well. So that means four of my tires all at once decided they were about to break. When my dad arrived, we quickly realized that there was absolutely no way we were going to be able to get this car home tonight, considering it needed about three spare tires compared to the one we had on deck. Luckily, there was a man watching us from a distance on his porch that saw us struggling and let us park the car in his driveway for the night to avoid any tickets or any trouble, and we could come back the next morning with the materials we needed to get it back. And that's exactly what we did. We went home, we slept, and the next morning we drove back up with four spare tires and replaced every single one of them, and we drove home. We left a case of Bud Light on the guy's doorstep to say thank you, but we never saw him again as he was at work. I choose to tell this story as a story of a time where I was actually quite lucky instead of telling it as a time where I was unlucky, because in the moment, it could have been a lot worse. I could have been in a scenario that would have been much harder to pull over. I could have not had someone offer for me to park in their driveway and gotten a ticket. So I like to think glass half full because it could have been way worse. It could have been way more dangerous for me. So I will decide to be fortunate. This has been CKUT 90.3, John Abbott on the air, Dylan Driver speaking. Everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday to you, first anniversaire, something busy is there.